thank you all. It's so great to be here with you. Kate and I have known that we were going to be coming here for, gosh, the last couple months, and so it's so nice to finally be here. Kevin's had a couple months to practice our daughter saying our daughter's names. You've done a great job with that. People have been spelling her name, their names correctly, and so it's pretty amazing. No small feat. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about them and about myself this morning, but I want to just talk to you a little bit about some scripture passage, one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. It's been kind of a hectic couple weeks for us. I don't know if you've ever moved before. Have you moved before? A few people? We're in the midst of kind of a double move. We have our stuff in a storage locker. And if you could say a prayer, the people who are getting ready to prepare our rental house for us, they have one more day to get it done. So please let us move in tomorrow. That's my prayer request today. Oh boy, it's been fun. We have a little family. I'm going to talk a little bit about them. I'm just going to keep it simple today. Talked about three different things. I'm going to talk about myself and my family. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my favorite scripture passage from the Gospel of John. And then I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to give you some homework. All right, is that fair? I've been told I have a quiz on your names next week, so I'm going to give you some homework to do as well. All right, we'll keep us both busy this week. But before I do that, I just want to thank Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh and Danielle are friends and colleagues of mine. For better and for worse, we are all Duke grads. I like to say that's for the better, but we'll get to that later. They have been tremendous helps to me and my family as we have transitioned, and even when we came into the conference 4 years ago and I first started pastoring a church over in Lebanon, they were big helps to me. And so, Josh, if you're somehow listening to this sermon, I want to thank you for the foundation that you laid and for that which I get to build upon. So thank you for them. And I hope that as you've gotten to know Josh over the last couple years, that we'll get to know one another better. I know there are those opportunities to sign up for the meet and greets. I'm excited to do those with you and to share a little more about myself in detail. Today, I'm just going to do some flyover stuff. And by doing that, I want to introduce you to the family that I have that I love so much. The pictures on the screens in front of you are my wife on the far right. Her name is Kate. Yeah, I guess I didn't need to distinguish that, did I? Kate, we are not high school sweethearts, although we did grow up in Warsaw, Indiana together. It took me 6 years to get a date with this beautiful lady. But once I did, I didn't let her go. And so we've been married now for 8.5 years. And our daughters, Jathniel is on the right in that kind of burgundy dress. We call her Jath. Like Bath with a J. I know it's a weird name. Who has granddaughters or grandsons with weird names too? It's kind of a thing right now, right? Well, that's her name. It's actually kind of one of those throwaway names in the Bible. In 2 Chronicles, it means gift from God. It's actually a boy's name, but don't tell her that. And then Adeline is on the far left. She just turned one. So they are 3 and 1 and a whole lot of fun. You'll get to meet them. I think that they're out in the hallway playing right now. So you'll get to see them later. But that's a little bit about them. For me, I like sports. As I said, I'm a Duke grad, so I'm a huge Duke basketball fan. Amen. Oh, I got more booze than that. All right, well, that's one strike. Let me give you another strike. I'm a huge, huge fan of Michigan football. I got one. All right, good. Okay. All right, well, that's two strikes. I'm not going to say anymore. But that's a little bit about me. I love sports. I am annoyingly competitive, just so you know, but God's still working on me there. And I love my family, and I do get a little excited, and I do get a little long-winded. So don't set your clocks by how I preach, but I am watching that big digital clock behind you, so don't worry. I'm so excited to get to know you more, to share more of my stories. We'll get a chance to do that. But today I want to talk to you about what I love most, and that's Jesus. So what a gift it is for me to be here on my first Sunday to tell you a little bit more about my love for him. As I do that, I'd like to invite you to listen to these words from the Good News Gospel according to John. It's chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 4 through 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Later, John would go on to say of Jesus, he must increase, and I must decrease. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this church family, and I thank you for being here this morning. I pray that in the next few minutes, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, for it is you that we've come, and it is from you that we expect to hear a word. So, Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Amen. Well, I love this passage. It's one of my favorites in all of the Bible. I have a life verse that kind of shapes how I live and how I do ministry, and it's found within the passage we just read, verse 8, that last one. But I love the verses preceding it. It talks a lot about Jesus and gives all of these poetic names for who he is and describing the kind of God that Jesus is. It says that he's the Word, he's the life of all humankind, that he is the light and life of the world, that he was with God and he is God there from the very beginning. And did you catch that one part? He's the light that darkness cannot overcome. That cannot overcome. It's an easy truth to forget, and yet it's such a wonderful promise to remember. Seemed appropriate, though, as we began our time together in the beginning of our ministry, as we began here realizing that God is in our midst, the same God who was with us before is the same God who's with us today, and the same God who's leading us and calling us to a new future. It's a wonderful time to remember those words, as well as the ones that darkness cannot overcome the light, because the world just seems so dark right now. Gosh, every week I look in the newspaper, or wait, do people still read newspapers anymore? I look online, or I check my iPhone or my iPad, and I see different terrorist attacks, or the latest one in the recent days of hostages, political infighting in our own country, or even across the pond in England and across the world. It just seems like whether we're looking across the globe or here locally, that's just always one mess after the other. I don't know about you, but that feels heavy. This darkness. The world just feels so fragile, uncertain, unstable. What the Bible might call dark. I love this passage, not only as we begin our time together, but as we go from this place back into the world, into our homes, into our families, into our communities, into our workplaces. This passage is a wonderful reminder about who our God is and who we're called to be as God's witnesses. And that's my life verse, that verse 8. He himself was not the light, the Bible says about John the Baptist. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light, to point others to Jesus. He himself was not the Savior. He himself was not the life, but he knew the one who is. He was called to be a witness. Now, that's a loaded word, though, isn't it? Witnesses. Have you ever been witnessed by someone in downtown Indianapolis, maybe? One of the first dates I took my wife on was downtown Indianapolis, took her to a fancy dinner, and we got trapped on the corner by a couple of people who were witnessing to us. And thankfully, they reminded me that I was going to hell unless I decided to follow Jesus. I repented of my sins and sung the victory right there in the downtown of Indianapolis. Oh, I don't know what your experience is with witnessing, but mine, I just bring some baggage to that word. It's a heavy word. It's one I don't really like. It's kind of taboo for me, this kind of Bible bashing or people who like to remind us that we're going to hell. God bless them. I don't know if I like that word of it. The one I like better actually comes from Nike. Of all places, Nike. So a couple of years ago, actually, not even a couple years ago, if you think of, anybody a basketball fan? I told you I'm a Duke basketball fan. Anybody watch the NBA Finals, Cavs versus the Warriors? LeBron James is coming off of one of the, if not the most, historic performances of all time in the NBA Finals. He led his team and the other team in points, rebounds, blocks, steals, and assists. That's right. All five categories, he led both teams. One of the greatest performances of all time. And Nike has a campaign for him that's been around since he first turned professional. And it's simply called Witness. And so you can go to Dick's Sporting Goods and buy a shirt that has hashtag witness on it. Or you can go see the billboard outside the Quicken Loans Arena where they play that says, "We are all witnesses." The idea behind their campaign is that when we see LeBron James playing basketball, we are witnessing something special. So special, in fact, that we have to tell others about what we've seen. Now that's a great definition for witnessing. And so I've been hearing lots of stories, and I told people I was, when people found out I was going to be appointed to Fishers United Methodist Church, people from not only this community, but across the state raved about you, about us now, right? Because I get to claim that now. So all your goodwill you built up, I get to claim that a little bit too. They raved about you, about the ways in which you're involved in your community, the ministries that take place within our building that's busy 24/7. It's incredible. And they talked about the ways in which we had the opportunity to leverage our location off of 116th and 69 with the new IKEA going in. I'm hearing some groans. I'm not there yet. I'm actually excited to get those Swedish meatballs. You know, I don't know about you. It's like $1.50. You can eat all you want. But I'm excited for that because there's an opportunity that we have to leverage our presence in ways that witness to the great God of the universe revealed to us in Jesus Christ, who's changing lives, including yours and mine and our communities. I get excited. I'm going to back off a little bit because I still have three more services to preach. But glory to God. What an opportunity we have. Because the world needs Jesus. I was talking to a man recently who told about his story before Jesus and after. He said, you know, throughout his life, he's tried many different things. Moving, marriages, money. But none of them were able to heal or to fill what was missing in his life. It wasn't until he gave his life to Jesus that he was made whole. His story reminded me of another's. There was a Christian a long, 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 long time ago named Augustine. And he wrote one of the first autobiographies ever in the Western world, and he called it Confessions, appropriately named Confessions, where he confessed all of his life's ups and downs, mostly downs and wanderings and meanderings throughout his life before Jesus. From the time he was a boy when he stole pears from a tree, all the way through the times he tried earning his identity through his work or through his education, the times he tried to pursue women to fill what was missing inside of him. It wasn't until Jesus, just like the other man's, that he was made whole. In his book, Augustine writes, "Our hearts are restless, restless, until they find their rest in thee, O Lord." I wonder if you ever feel restless. Because even church people can sometimes too. This stirring, this wrestling, this desire or longing for something more, for something deeper, for something greater. I have friends who are just going through the motions of life, wanting to be wrapped up into something greater and bigger than themselves, to be given a purpose and a mission in this life, the ways in which they can leverage their work and their talents and their gifts and their interests for something more than who they are. Friends, if that's you or you know someone, I am so excited to tell you more about Jesus. And as I understand it, I'm going to be leading some committees, and I have just a few places I could put you in. But I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to tell you more about Jesus, and I'm excited to tell our community more and more about Jesus. Well, as we come to an end, I thought this would be a great opportunity to give you a challenge for you to witness this week, perhaps. When I told my daughter that we were coming to Fishers, she immediately burst into song. I wonder if you'll know it. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you if you follow me. Yeah. Wow. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be one of your pastors. And I'm excited to see who you're going to bring with you to church next week. Because you've got a built-in excuse. Come see our new pastor, just like you do if there's a new animal at the zoo. Invite him to come see us. Church, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited and humbled to be one of your pastors. And most of all, I am excited, so excited, to see where and how God will lead us into a future as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with our friends, with our neighbors, our coworkers, and our community. May God bless us and keep us as we continue in this worship service together. I'll see you next week. Amen.